Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the thoughts of all our hearts be pleasing and acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
I'm in two minds as to how to introduce the sermon today, because I am aware that when I start with an anecdote about some such failing, normally, of my own, it becomes something that you all share in. Now, I'm going to tell you. When I was younger, in church, and I used to listen to sermons, my friends and I used to play a game. And we called that game Sermon Bingo. And we would listen out for particular phrases or words that the preacher would use, and we would score ourselves on our little cards to see who could predict the most accurately what the preacher was going to say that day. I say this because if you've been playing Sermon Bingo over the last couple of months and you are not allowed to play it today, having told you that, you must not play this game. If you have been playing it, there is a particular phrase that has cropped up time and time again over the last couple of weeks, over the last couple of months, possibly even over the last year. And that phrase is the kingdom of God. If you had that on your bingo cards, basically ever since we started this year of the lectionary, you will have been winning major, major points. And by the way, from here, I will be able to see whether it looks like you are now playing Sermon Bingo. Okay, I just really need to make that point. The reason we've come across this phrase so much is because we've been working our way through the Gospel of Mark. That's been the Gospel of the year that we've worked through. And this phrase, the kingdom of God, is a key phrase for Mark. And today, by the vagaries of the way the lectionary has been set up, we return to the very start of Mark's Gospel. Mark chapter 1, the announcement of Jesus. He has gone through the temptation in the wilderness, and now he comes proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. There's a couple of things that I want to just think about quickly this morning to do with this. Firstly, the phrase good news that Mark uses and connects here at the start, because he puts it at the start, we need to pay extra special attention to it, because he's setting up the whole of the rest of the gospel, the whole of the message that Mark is sharing, the good news about Jesus, his ministry, his life, his death, and his resurrection. We need to view through this lens which Mark gives us at the very start, the lens of the kingdom of God. And he connects it with this word good news at the start. Now, the word good news here is the word from which we get gospel. So when we say our gospel reading from Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, that means the good news. But the word originally came, was a word used by the Romans at the time. It was a Greek word, euangelion. And it was the word they used when they took over a new territory, when they swept into a new province, when they beat whichever king or ruler was there. They would then declare to the people of that place the good news that the Romans were now in charge. That was the good news that people were familiar with. Euangelion was an announcement. It was a proclamation of a new kingdom, of victory, of triumph. And Mark has connected this word to what Jesus does by bringing in the kingdom of God. It's an important theme. Now, Jesus's first hearers, the first people who would read this gospel as well, they would hear this phrase, good news, and they would have all of this accompanying baggage with it. All of this stuff about the kings and the kingdoms, about the empire that was now in charge of you, this so-called good news. Or actually, all it meant was that someone else was in charge and that life was now ruled at the point of a sword. But Jesus's good news subverts this powerful word, because Jesus's good news is about God's kingdom. And God's kingdom does not come at the point of a sword. God's kingdom does not come under threat of death if you do not participate. God's kingdom is an invitation. It is not something forced on you from on high. It is not something presented to you as a fait accompli. God's kingdom is an invitation to participate in good news, in something that is glorious and beautiful, in something that fulfills and brings life rather than taking it away. So when Jesus says, the time has come near, the kingdom of God has come near, repent and believe in the good news, he's doing something big. He's presenting to them a reality that is different to that which they knew before. And it's important for us today, 2,000 years later, it's important for us today, Remembrance Day, perhaps most of all, to remind ourselves of the true power of God's kingdom as opposed to the kingdom of the world. You see, for the people of Israel, the kingdom that they knew, their whole world, was the Roman Empire. And Jesus came proclaiming something different, saying, you are no longer citizens of this kingdom, but you can be citizens of God's kingdom. And that invite is open to us. We are invited to no longer be citizens of the world, where war begets war, where violence begets violence, where injustice breeds oppression, breeds violence, breeds destruction, breeds death. We are invited to be part of God's kingdom, where peace and mercy and grace and forgiveness and life are at the very foundations. Now, as much as ever has been in history, the kingdom of God is our invitation, and we need to respond. I'll leave you with three things about God's kingdom, because God's kingdom is still a present that we need to be aware of. God's kingdom is still needed. If you look at our world around us, you see pain, you see injustice, you see suffering. God's kingdom is needed in our world to break the cycle of violence. God's kingdom is possible. It's made possible through Jesus' death and, most importantly, through his resurrection. He has shown a new way, God's way. He has shown that God is more powerful than even death. And that if we follow Jesus, then there is hope. So God's kingdom is still needed. God's kingdom is still possible. And God's kingdom is still our calling, just as much as it was to those disciples who were by the Sea of Galilee as Jesus walked past, getting on with life. And Jesus says to them, come, follow me. And that invitation is offered to us today. Will we follow Jesus' way? Will we follow the kingdom of God? Will we live lives of peace and hope and grace and forgiveness and love and mercy? Will we participate in that glorious kingdom to which God invites us? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the invitation into your kingdom. Thank you that through you we can be part of a beautiful world. That we can know forgiveness for sins, hope for new life, an end to violence and oppression. Help us to live our lives to the standards of your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.